Welcome to today's Strategic Housing Podcast, where our goals are to connect people, share innovative ideas, and collaborate with partners on affordable housing opportunities and replicable models that strengthen our communities in Kentucky and across the nation. My name is Edwin King, and I'm the Executive Director of Kentucky Housing Corporation. Today's podcast features two of our very own KHC ambassadors, Jeremy Ratliff, who serves as KHC's General Counsel and Deputy Executive Director, overseeing legal services and multifamily programs, and Tracy Thurston, who serves as Managing Director of Multifamily Programs. Tracy and Jeremy, thank you for being our guests today, and welcome to our podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about the improvements we have made to KHC's qualified allocation plan to reduce red tape, linking back to our two-part podcast about our QAP from January of 2018 when we partnered with Novogradac. We are also going to be talking about some very innovative outcomes through a culmination of our strategic efforts by KHC and our partners that will provide housing solutions that lead to improved outcomes for the individuals and families we serve. So, Jeremy and Tracy, you know, this is really the first funding round in which KHC included an allocation of low-income housing tax credits to an innovation pool. So can you talk to us and for our listeners about the innovation pool and how it came about and maybe the policy for having that pool?
Yes, the innovation pool is the result of a variety of things, but it started with the evolution of our scoring for our 9% applications. We used to have a relatively simplistic scoring approach to that that typically ended up in just being funded out of a tiebreaker scenario. And a few years ago, we decided we were going to develop a more robust scoring system. And that was based off of feedback we were getting from our partners on those projects, as well as some data we were seeing and just a desire by KHC to make sure that we were focusing on the needs of the Commonwealth from affordable housing standpoint, and that we were getting the proper projects to fulfill those needs. And so we developed a more robust scoring system. And then in the fall of 2017, we had our CCI summits, our Housing Connect, Collaborate, and Innovate summits, which was an outreach by KHC to partners we work with in the communities to get a better idea of what they were seeing out in their areas of the state as being the needs of the communities from an affordable housing standpoint. And coming out of that, we have corporately emphasized the need for this holistic housing concept where we're not just putting a roof over people's heads. We're trying to do things with them that help them have better lives and give them more opportunities to improve their income or get educated or seek more goals in their life. And so that comes with innovation and creativity. And the innovation round is a recognition that KHC can have prescribed scoring for different funding pools out of the tax credits to drive projects to fulfill needs that we see from a data standpoint. But we also need to accept some input from our partners because they are the boots on the ground, so to speak, that are out there dealing with the tenants on a day-to-day basis and seeing what is affecting their lives. And they can come bring creative housing solutions that can help those tenants' lives that we don't see or we're not aware of because we're not dealing with those tenants on a day-to-day basis. And so the innovation pool is an opportunity for those partners to bring those ideas to us. And instead of seeing a project that is an excellent concept, an idea to help the tenants with their situations and not being able to fund it because it doesn't meet our prescribed scoring for a given funding round, it's an opportunity for us to be able to recognize those and go ahead and commit to them now, as opposed to having to wait another 2 years for a new QAP to develop so that we can develop a scoring that would allow those projects to be able to move forward.
Yeah, you know, you really touched on it there. And as I mentioned earlier, it really was a culmination of a lot of different things. You know, going back to the CCI summits about a year and a half ago, we started this journey of talking about the holistic housing approaches and how we need to have wraparound services with housing resources. And then we started the Strategic Housing Podcast, where we talked about innovative ideas like workforce housing and what other states are doing in that front. And we talked about senior housing and how the senior population is growing in Kentucky, and how we need to really address that and wrap around services for that population as well. And we talk about just, again, this holistic housing approach over and over and over. We start changing the QAP to reflect our scoring, to establish this innovation pool to meet our goals in housing. And it's really exciting when our partners hear that. This is what you hope happens when they hear that. And then they respond. And so by their response, we were really able to fund some exciting projects through the innovation pool. So maybe can you talk about those projects and the innovative aspects of those particular projects?
Yeah, so the development community responded to the challenge positively and brought forward several innovative housing concepts in the 2019 tax credit round. We were able to fund three of those projects from the innovation pool, along with another project, which we think is very innovative, which was funded from the pool it applied in, which was nonprofit supportive housing. One project I'd like to highlight is Westminster Apartments in Louisville, Kentucky. This project will create 51 units by renovating the top four floors of a vacant apartment building on Presbyterian Homes and Services campus. The campus includes 50-unit personal care facility and a separate 112-bed nursing facility that is connected to the apartment building to be rehabbed. The University of Louisville Institute for Sustainable Health and Optimal Aging has agreed to be the supportive services provider for this project, with an integrated team of social workers, nurses, pharmacists, and geriatricians. Supportive services are necessary for older adults to maintain their long-term independence, and the ability to offer both a safe, attractive home to seniors with continuing care will truly set a new standard for Kentucky for innovative senior care. The developer of this project is Presbyterian Homes and Services of Kentucky. Another project that will provide continued care services for seniors is the Maddox Manor Project in Glasgow, Kentucky. This development includes 40 units in new construction, 21-bedroom units, and 22-bedroom units designed to serve seniors. In an effort to allow seniors to age in place, there will be a community service facility on site that will utilize the Medicaid waiver program to provide a wide range of services to both the residents at Maddox Manor and the Glasgow community. In addition, there'll be a duplex that will have a passive house design. It's going to serve as a senior testing the benefits of energy efficiency models. The developer of this project is Wabuck Development Company. So in addition to the two senior projects, we're also able to award tax credits to what's called Kit Carson Commons, which is located at the edge of Eastern Kentucky University's campus in Richmond, Kentucky. The Kit Carson Commons project consists of 32 and three-bedroom units of affordable housing and a community service facility. The projects efficiently use the same facility to achieve two highly needed services, workforce training and affordable housing. It consists of 30 units of affordable scholar house type housing, including access to services and childcare at the nearby Eastern Scholar House with a separate workforce training center that's open to the public. The training center includes a reception area, administrative area, offices, conference room, classrooms, and a covered patio with seating. Training and meeting spaces will be made available to partnering workforce development trainers at no cost. The workforce development component of the project is particularly innovative in the collaborative relationship that it will have with the Madison County Board of Education's Career Development Center. By combining efforts, workforce development training, and preparation will be available in a seamless continuum in the Richmond community. The developer of this project is Kentucky River Foothills, and Fahy is serving as consultant. So in addition to the two senior projects and a workforce housing project, we also were able to award the Ransdell Living and Learning Center and the nonprofit supportive housing pool. The Ransdell Living and Learning Center is located in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and this project includes affordable housing units for adults with autism spectrum disorder. This property, previously known as Adams Station, will renovate a total of 16 units within three buildings. 8 units will be held for adults with autism spectrum disorder, while the remaining 8 family units will receive a preference on the waiting list for individuals or families with autism spectrum disorder. Western Kentucky University is a crucial partner of this project because of their Kelly Autism Program, which assists those with autism in daily living skills, employment skills, and assists with the individuals attending the university to obtain a degree. Developer for this project is Housing Assistance and Development Services with Wabuck Development Company serving as consultant. We really feel like these four projects had incredibly innovative concepts and provide holistic housing solutions, and I really feel like the developer stepped up to our challenge of coming up with adaptable housing concepts that can be reused for years to come.
So what I really love about these four projects is the fact that they take our LIHTC housing resource and they combine it with other public and private funding to make a successful model. So they brought all kinds of different entities, both public and private, to the table, whether it's workforce training or medical providers for senior living. So I absolutely love the four projects that we got out of this round, and I'd certainly look forward to our next innovation pool and seeing what comes of that. So with that being said, how does an applicant have their project considered for the innovation pool? Can they simply apply in the pool?
So yeah, when completing the 2020 low-income housing tax credit application in our universal funding system, you don't apply directly to the innovation pool. You would need to apply to the other pools outlined in the QAP, the pools we've had in previous years, such as new supply, preservation, nonprofit supportive housing. But within the application, there's an opportunity to describe any innovative components of the proposed project in the application. Staff reviews these responses and refers any projects marked innovative to be considered for the innovation pool. This allows us to take a look at the projects across the board to see what projects are truly innovative and can be replicated in years to come.
So can you tell our listeners how KHC selects projects that will be eligible and considered for funding within the innovation pool? And would, for example, a scholar house or a recovery project be considered innovative since we have sort of funded several of each of those successful projects already?
Yeah, so as Tracy outlined, the applicant would provide us with any information regarding the innovative aspects of their project. And then staff, as they're reviewing the applications for underwriting purposes, will mark any that have completed that portion of their application. Those applications are then given to an internal team that will review the aspects to determine if they truly are innovative and kind of identify a ranking of them based on how innovative they are. Certainly, the Scholar House and the Recovery Projects are innovative projects, and we're really proud of those as an agency. And certainly, they could be considered as an innovative project. I would look for new ways with those programs for additional innovation above and beyond what we've seen historically from a Scholar House and a recovery project, but they could be considered innovative, keeping in mind that we have done several of those. So if we get a unique project, such as the four that we were able to fund in this round, you know, there's a chance that those are going to end up being deemed more innovative than a Scholar House or a recovery center that is the same as others that we have funded over the years.
Yeah, so really, we're not saying then that a scholar house or recovery project can't be put forth. Actually, those can be funded within even another pool and potentially the innovation pool. But what we're really looking for is the next scholar house and the next recovery type projects that really transform how we deliver housing. But certainly, I would welcome scholar house applications and I would welcome recovery project applications because they do have that success. So another question we oftentimes get is about the substantial amount of LIHTC to the Beecher Terrace Choice Neighborhoods project in Louisville, which was a commitment made before I got here. And as a result of that commitment, we have a limited amount of additional LIHTC that may be allocated to Jefferson County to $800,000. So we've also said that the $800,000 limitation does not apply to a project funded in the innovation pool. So can you explain how the innovation pool works with the $800,000 limit in Jefferson County?
Well, first of all, we're very proud of the Beecher Terrace Choice Neighborhoods project and our opportunity to be a partner in that. We're excited about what that's going to do for that part of Louisville. It is a very important project, and we've made that commitment because we do feel that way about it. So, yes, we've made a 3-year commitment of $1.2 million of 9% low-income housing tax credits to that project, and that's $1.2 million each year. And so we have limited any additional allocation of tax credits to Jefferson County to $800,000, making for a total of $2 million each year that could be funded into Jefferson County for projects. Recognizing that $2 million is a fairly substantial portion of the annual low-income housing tax credit that we get to allocate in Kentucky, we've cut it off at that so that we make sure that we're able to equitably distribute that low-income housing tax credit throughout the Commonwealth. And so we have received several questions about that limitation and how that's going to work and interplay with the innovation pool. We do say that the $800,000 is not a limitation in the innovation pool. That is a recognition on our part that with innovation, innovation oftentimes comes cost. And if it's a truly innovative project, it may well cost a little more to produce that project, which means that, you know, $800,000 in Jefferson County may not be enough credit to really make that type of a project feasible. So we may need to go up to, say, $1 million of credit to be able to do a truly innovative project in Jefferson County. And so we've removed that restriction from an innovation pool standpoint. The $800,000 still would apply to any other project that would be funded through another pool. It also still would apply overall for the funding round, in a sense, even though we're possibly funding more than that to a project if it comes through the innovation pool. If we, for example, funded $1 million of tax credits to an innovative project in Jefferson County, there would be no more tax credits available in that funding round to go into Jefferson County. And so that cap will be considered as met in any other pool within the funding round. And so we've also received questions, can you fund a project through the innovation pool and through another pool in Jefferson County? And theoretically, we could, assuming that the total allocation of those two projects didn't exceed the $800,000, we would be able to. But for us to, for example, fund an $800,000 project through the innovation pool and then fund another $800,000 project through another pool in the same round would result in $2.8 million of our tax credits going into Jefferson County alone, which represents about a 25 to a 30% of our total credit allocation each year to allocate. And it just wouldn't be a very equitable distribution of credits throughout the Commonwealth.
Yeah, I think that's very helpful. And really the purpose for our podcast today, just to one, highlight the innovative projects that we've got out of this funding round, but also just to give a little bit more information on this innovation pool and how developers can come in and apply for these types of credits. Tracy and Jeremy, thank you again for your time with us today and discussing very positive outcomes for the strategic efforts that improve the QAP and really how the innovative pool is making a critical difference in the delivery of housing solutions for our state. Thank you for your leadership and roles for KHC that are helping us meet our mission of investing in quality housing solutions. To our audience, thank you for connecting with us today and listening to this podcast. You're welcome to join the conversation by leaving comments, and please share today's podcast in your social media streams to help us broaden our conversation. Follow us on social media. Until next time, thank you.